enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
What's up? What's up? It is Weekend Wager here on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by BetMGM. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Oh, man. Wild card weekend. It is upon us. Less than 24 hours. 1:05 kickoff. The first game, the Colts and the Buffalo Bills. We're going to dive into all six games. We've got, of course, three on Saturday, three on Sunday. God bless the NFL implementing an extra team. So now we've got seven teams from each conference that make it in. The number one seed obviously gets the bye. That's Kansas City and the Green Bay Packers. And so for two straight weekends in a row, three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and an opportunity for all of us to win a ton of money. Hopefully. My mouth to the gambling gods' ears. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. That's how you get on board. We're going to be joined by Cynthia Freeland. She's going to join us, and also we'll hear from Bill Barnwell. So what we're going to do, this entire show is going to be solely dedicated, committed to the NFL games that we are about to embark on. Again, the first one starts at 1:05 tomorrow afternoon. And you'll be able to listen to me here on 98.7 ESPN, my own show, from noon to 3 tomorrow. So obviously noon to 1. Getting you ready again for all the games that are about to that we'll be about to embark on, and then on Sunday we've got New York Game Day starting off at 7 a.m. From 7 to 8 a.m. is fantasy, which right now, because fantasy football leagues are over now, a lot of people are playing DFS, so we'll dive into a lot of DFS talk and how you can win some money in fantasy. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock, both Mike Tannenbaum and Chris Canty join me, and we will get you through a lot of what's to come for the Giants and the Jets, a lot of changes. We'll start looking at both those organizations and their futures, as well as we will take a deep dive into to all these games. Well, actually, on Sunday, we'll recap the three from Saturday and dive into, of course, the three heading into Sunday afternoon. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to regroup. Of course, we're following the shows typically from 10 to midnight, but because the Knicks played tonight, unfortunately they lost, but because the Knicks played tonight, a late start. So we just wanted to pop on and say hi and kind of get the juices flowing, because for the next 90 minutes, buckle up, we are going to do a deep dive into all six of these games. We'll talk about the lines. We'll talk about the over-under. We'll talk about the prop bets that are available and that are out there. So 800-919-3776 is the phone number. That's how you can get on board, and I welcome you to do so. We get back, like I said, we will. I'll kick it off with the Colts and the Bills. And we've got the Rams in Seattle and, of course, Tampa and Washington. Those are our three games on tap for Saturday. And I will open up the phone lines again, 800-919-3776. You want to jump on board. And is there a play tomorrow or Sunday that you just love in regard to one of these games? Is one of these matchups, is there a line, is there an over-under that you feel is like money in the bank? I want to hear from you. Again, 800-919-3776. Anita Marks with you. This is Weekend Wager here on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Welcome back to Weekend Wager. Anita Marks with you. Brought to you by BetMGM. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. I'll tell you who I believe in, and that is Cynthia Freeland. You can see her all over the NFL Network, and she's joining us tonight to break down not just Saturday's games, but Sunday as well. So Cynthia, welcome in. Great to have you on the show. And let's dive right into it, because this is a Bills team. Gosh, I love this Bills team. I love them so much. I'm jumping to the end of the book, not just the chapter. I've got the Bills winning the Super Bowl. I love them. They're favored -6.5. I'll take them at 6.5. Maybe I'll take them at 7. I don't like the 7.5. That's where this opened up, by the way. This line opened up at -7.5. All the wise guys up in Vegas, the smart money jumped on the Colts, and that's why it came down. But I love the Bills -6.5. What do you think about this game?
think that the Bills win by at least a touchdown, if not more. I like what I've seen from Josh Allen in terms of being able to navigate pressure, being able to throw on the run. So if you look at off-platform throws, so like when your feet aren't set perfectly and your kind of your body alignment isn't in that like most perfect example of like, oh, this is like the prototypical pass. Well, Josh Allen's been super successful because they've been tailoring passes to be a little bit shorter and a little bit quicker. So those off-platform throws are really a big reason why his completion percentage has gone up so significantly this season. And I think that will be a big factor because people kind of low-key forget that the Colts defense is good at bringing the heat.
Yeah, I love this Bills team. I love it a lot. I love the fact that the line is 6.5. Now, keep in mind, this line opened up at 7.5. Vegas told us that a lot of sharp money, a lot of wise guy money came in with the Colts getting that hook at 7.5. It then dropped to 6. It's been teetering back and forth on 6, 6.5. As long as it doesn't, I like it at 6.5. I think the Bills win by a touchdown here, right? So I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it at 6.5. Do you have a play on the over under at 51?
Yeah, I think that this one actually will not be a super high scoring game. I think 51 might be a little much. I think the Bills defense has actually improved pretty significantly over the past few weeks. And if you look to see, yes, the Colts are awesome at running the ball, but they've had some issues and inconsistency in the passing game. So for me in this one, I think it's going to be more of a, you know, the strategy for the Colts to try to keep it on the ground and use Jonathan Taylor, who's just come alive and looks really great. But that's kind of where I think the Bills will be ready for them. So I don't think it's going to be, I think something more in the high 40s, not quite all the way to 50.
Here's one bet that I like. What about the Bills team total over 29.5? I think this Colts team, their defense has not been great this month. I know the majority of the season they were flying low on the radar. I don't think people realized how good their defense was, but this past month, the month of December, they haven't been that outstanding. And the way that Josh Allen and this offense is rolling with or without John Beasley, which by the way, the fact that John Brown is back obviously helps that, the type of offensive scheme that they play, but I like the over in team total 29.5. If you think that the under is going to hit, my gut is telling me that that might not be a play that you like.
It is not a play that I like, but not because I don't like the Bills. Don't take this as an anti-Bills sentiment. I just think that when it comes to this game, I think controlling the ball, I think this is going to be a game where Brian Daboll shows us something in terms of like really being efficient, but not, but milking the clock a little bit. I think it's going to be a ball control situation a little more than we've seen. I mean, look, you're biased. We're all biased to see the Bills score something like 50 billion points the past few weeks. And that has been not necessarily, I mean, it's been fun to watch, but that has not necessarily been like a playoff formula when it's a team, you know, two teams that are like the Colts are better than I think people give them credit for. They almost won the division. It's not like they're standing there like kind of, They're not sneaking in the back door of the playoffs, right? So ultimately, I just don't think, I think like 28 points, 27 points, that is a more, to me, reasonable and probable outcome. Again, not that I don't think they're going to win by a touchdown, but just not a super high scoring game.
Again, Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I'm also, so you know me. I play games a million in which ways, right? So I'm going to take the Bills -6.5. I told you that I do like the team total over at 29.5. I'm also going to use the Bills as a teaser. I mean, I like the Bills -0.5. And I'm going to pair that up along with Washington Tampa under 51. And we'll get to that game in a second. Or the Steelers as a pick 'em. Just FYI. What your thoughts on using the Bills as a teaser?
I like that. Especially, I mean, if it's just a half, my goodness gracious, that seems like, that's great. That's a
yep.
Really nice foundation.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you like that. Let's dive into some of these prop bets that we can get in this Bills Colts game. And I'm gonna rattle off because again, oh, Cynthia, one day we're going to watch a game together. You will be thoroughly amused. So here are all the prop bets that I'm going to have money on. Josh Allen over 301.5 passing yards, over 2.5 passing touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor over 73.5 rushing yards. Hines over 26.5 receiving yards. Zach Moss anytime touchdown. You get that at +163. If John Beasley is inactive, Isaiah McKenzie, anytime touchdown, you could get that at plus 350. Double touchdown, Stephon Diggs and Jonathan Taylor both find the end zone at any time. You get that 3-1. And also Diggs, Stephon Diggs scores a touchdown and the Bills just straight up win. You can get that at plus 170. So those are all the prop bets that I'm going to be active and attractive in for this game. Any of them stand out for you?
I think I like all of them. I mean, I mean, look, I think I like to root for fun. I don't necessarily think that Josh Allen is going to throw for more than two touchdowns. I think it's possible he throws for two and rushes one in, but I don't necessarily think, you know, like I said, but those all follow the game script that my models and me don't believe that it's going to be the highest scoring game. It's not, again, it's not, I always feel like I'm like rooting against fun when I say to take sort of not the, like to take the under. I feel like that's rooting against fun, but I'm not rooting against fun. And I love this Stephon Diggs and the Jonathan Taylor anytime touchdown situation. I like that one probably the best. But, you know, again, I just don't have as high of a scoring game as you do.
Yeah, and if you get that at 3-1, and you know, yes. it's interesting because, you know, the guys on Daily Wager, Doug and Tyler and Joe and them, like, they make fun of me. Not, like, in a cute way, right? Like, in a big sister kind of way. Like, they make fun of me, like, oh, you know, prop queen, you're always on the over. When are you going to take an under, Anita? And we're going to get, I do have some unders in this weekend that I'm going to tee up for you in a minute. But my response to them is, it doesn't feel good rooting for a player to do bad. Like, maybe there's some players out there I root for them to do bad. But, like, majority of the time, like, you want to root for success. You want to root for players to do well. So I think just my personality and who I am as a human tends to lean me, and I know unders hit more often than overs when it comes to prop betting. But I just, you know, I want to root for players to do well. I don't want to root for players to do poorly. So I think that's
a difference. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that I think that's a big reason why I'm always on the over more so than not, you know?
See, for me, that it's like a personality thing because I don't think saying they're going to have like less than 300 passing yards is necessarily rooting for like not success for a player. See, for me, because if Josh Allen wins the game and they look amazing and they get to run the ball in the fourth quarter, like that's still rooting for success. Like I'm just more like, it's just a funny like difference in our personalities. Right. Cause I'm like pragmatic about like, oh, I think some people have been biased too far to the one side. So we got to come back to a more moderate position. That's kind of how I view it. I never view it as I'm rooting for someone to do poorly.
All right, let's dive into the second game on Saturday, and that's the Rams and Seattle. I'm calling the upset here, regardless of who's quarterbacking, whether it's and you're out there in LA, by the way. What are you hearing in regard to the quarterback situation?
The same thing as you. We're all stuck inside, so we hear the same sources. I think the interesting part here is that, you know, to me, because they're not saying who the starter is, I think that's telling us that we're going to see at least a good amount of John Wolford. I don't think it's telling us maybe he won't start or maybe whatever, but I think it's telling us there's a lot of uncertainty around Jared Goff. So otherwise, why wouldn't he just say like, it's going to be Jared Goff?
So regardless of who the quarterback, I actually like Wolford, and one of my favorite bets last week was him over rushing yards, which was at 26.5. If you recall, you were on with me last week. You liked that. Really, this comes down to the defense and the straws which stirs that West Coast drink when it comes to the Rams. And Seattle, they've been struggling as of late, big time. Both Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. So I think they're going to struggle here as well. So I like the Rams. I'm taking the Rams +3. I'm taking the Rams on the money line, which right now that money line is plus 150. So that's how I'm playing this.
We got a bottle of wine here, baby.
Uh-oh, and the over-under's at 42. So, all right. So how's Cynthia Freeland playing this one?
I mean, 42 is very low, by the way. I think that's kind of interesting. I think it's going to be, you want to root for points. I think points in this one, 42. What? That seems to be low. But when I look at this game and I map it out, I look to actually see something that it doesn't sound very profound, but if you look to see the Seattle Seahawks offensive line, especially as of late, you know, usually they are one of the worst in the league and Russell Wilson has to make up for it. They're right about average right now. which is pretty hilarious that that's like something to celebrate. But they're a little above average, which means I think they're going to have just enough time for like a Tyler Lockett situation, for a David Moore, for a, you know, a situation of, you know, getting DK Metcalf away from Jalen Ramsey's coverage, things like that. I think that this is going to be one of the games that they have circled. I feel like Seattle doesn't get enough love. I mean, they've won 12 games. It's not like they're, you know, dog food, right? Like, this is a good team. And I understand that we see Aaron Donald and he's just absolutely, I mean, head and shoulders, like just a ridiculously superior being to most players, right? But unfortunately or fortunately, I think that this is one where I think the Seahawks pull it off. I have a strong inclination they pull it off.
How do they pull it off against this Rams defense, Cynthia?
Carlos Dunlap, well, it's mostly about the other side, right? Carlos Dunlap has been a huge addition. Jamal Adams is now healthy. They have enough of an uptick in their defense to really let Russell Wilson. And now, as soon as Chris Carson, the more Chris Carson gets healthy, the more that they can get the run game to be healthier and healthier and healthier, the better off they are.
All right, let's talk about some of the prop bets. And again, I'm down on Seattle. And a big reason why is, you know, a lot of it is, you know, what is your team like as you're coming into the postseason? And we're seeing the Ravens thrive, right? We're seeing their offense, man, they are running all cylinders right now, averaging 36, 37 points a game. They've won five straight. Meanwhile, Seattle, I mean, Russell Wilson hasn't passed for over 200 yards in quite a few weeks. I mean, he's not cooking. Mr. Unlimited has been Mr. Limited. So I'm prop bet wise, I'm going under in 255.5 passing yards for Russell Wilson. I'm going under in 60.5 receiving yards for DK Metcalf. Metcalf hasn't put up over 60 receiving yards in the last 3 weeks. In both games, previous games against the Rams, he didn't even come close to that. So I'm actually, for somebody who's all on the over all the time, I'm going under on both these guys. Your thoughts?
Ooh, okay.
You're so funny. Go ahead. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me you want to wager a bottle of wine.
Yeah, no, just the score. I mean, look, I don't think it's going to be, I think 42 is too low, but you know, those two props are interesting to me. It follows your game script, so I think the logic works for you, but for me, I think it's more like it's a bit more about how to, you know, how the upset happens. So I would say I'm on the other side of kind of all of that because of my game script.
Okay. Last prop bet for you. I'm going to tee up for you in this game, and that is Cam Akers. I'm hearing he's healthy. He's ready to go. How great has it been, Cynthia, that the latter part of the season, we're seeing both Cam Akers and Jonathan Taylor just explode, right? Like, how fun is that? So the over under in rushing yards for Cam Akers is 65.5. So I like the over in rushing yards for him in this game. Thoughts?
I think they're going to split it up a little bit more. I just don't think they're off. I mean, that's one that I could get behind because I think they're going to have to run, because I think it's going to be keeping whoever's a quarterback away from situations where they could turn over the ball. So I think I'm more with you on that one. I'm just worried about this committee situation. I think we're going to see some weird tricks from Sean McVay, and weird meaning fun, but not our normal set of like, okay, these are the tendencies that they're absolutely going to follow.
Last one, I lied. Last one for you in this game, and that is, if Wolford starts, it was evident he loves Gerald Everett. So if Wolford is the starter and Goff is inactive, he has to be inactive. I like Everett over 2.5 touchdowns. Everett scores a touchdown. I'm sorry, over 2.5 receptions, and he finds the end zone. Thoughts?
Oh, that's 2.5 receptions. I'm with you. And I actually think no matter who I don't care who's starting. I would do it for both.
Oh, really? It just seems like, you know, you got Higby in there as well. And the two of them pretty much in regard to, offensive, you know, percentage of offensive plays and running routes and what they pretty much are even teal. But it just seemed like last week, Wolford really, really liked Everett a lot. And that was his go-to guy. That was his comfortability, you know. And again, I'll go back to, you know, and again, I don't in any way, shape or form think I'm speaking down to anyone listening, but if you've never played football before, like in an organization or a professional or whatever, You know, when a player is a backup, he spends a lot of time with backup players. You've got your starter going with first team guys. You've got backups who practice the majority of the time with the backups. And so that's why a lot of times you'll see a backup come in and he will target like the third string running back or the second tight end because he has more familiarity and more comfortability with that player. And I think that's what we saw last week with Wolford. And if he starts this week, I'm expecting more of the same.
I like your logic. I just also think three receptions for Gerald Everett is good either way. So,
okay. All right. Fantastic. All right. So that is game number two on Saturday. And Cynthia is going to be with us for two segments. We're going to talk about the Saturday games, and then we'll take a quick break and we will come back and we will talk about the Sunday games, but there is one more game. Oh, I can't wait to dive into this with you because I'm really curious what side of the coin you're on here. And that is the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Tampa Tom going up against the, let's be honest, he's going to win it. Defensive Rookie of the Year in Chase Young, in the Washington team, and that front seven. I love Washington plus +8. I'm going to put some money on Washington and the money line at plus +330. I can't wait until the sack totals come out. I'm going over on the sack totals. I think Tom Brady is in for a horrific evening. Cynthia Freeland, what say you?
Well, I think I like a closer than 8-point game. I think 8 is a silly number. I don't necessarily think – I think that the Bucks walk away winners, but I don't think it's an easy ride. And I don't think it's a fun day for Tom in general, but I think he has too many weapons and too many opportunities to just get enough going on because the other side of that matchup has to be considered. And that's the fact that Washington – what's going on with their quarterback position right now? It is a tricky mess. Right? Like Alex Smith does not appear to be healthy. We've seen Heineke taking first team reps in practice. These are hard. These are not great things to overcome when you consider the Bucs defense brings the heat too. They are good at getting to the quarterback. They're good at pressuring. They have great linebackers. Their situation, you know, their secondary could be improved a bit, but if you can't get there, then it's going to be a problem. You don't have time to throw the ball. So my kind of problem in I don't think the upset happens. Why? Because I just think that the Bucks defense doesn't let that happen.
Interesting. I think they get after him. I mean, some of the stats I came across, Tom Brady, 1-5 against playoff teams that have made it into the postseason. 44 win pressured and doesn't have a clean pocket. 44% completion percentage, only averages 5 yards per attempt. And in those six games that the Bucks did play against postseason opponents, playoff opponents, he's not only is he 1-5, but he only has a 75 QB rating, where against teams that are below 500, he's somewhere around like 115, 117, 120. So I think Tom Brady's in for a long day. So here are some of the prop bets. I've got the Bucks team total under 28. I've got Brady under 294.5 passing yards. I think that number is ridiculous. That might be one of the best bets. I think against Washington, please. I had Jenna Lane on my digital show on The Mark last night. She said she's expecting a big game from Antonio Brown because Tom's going to have to get the ball out quickly. And Antonio Brown's going to be that underneath guy running those quick slants, those quick out routes. So I like Antonio Brown over 59.5 receiving yards. I do believe Alex Smith gets the start. It's a dink and dunk offense. And with the health issues with Terry McLaurin, I love J.D. McKissick over 4.5 receptions, over 30.5 receiving yards. Logan Thomas has been an absolute beast. He's targeted a ton in the red zone. I got him scoring an anytime touchdown at plus +225. I also have Logan Thomas and Antonio Brown both scoring an anytime touchdown at 6-1. And I love the sack total over. Like I said, no numbers have been released yet. I'm waiting for those sack total numbers to be released, and I'm all on the over in sack totals for the game. Your thoughts? Any of those prop bets stand out to you, Cynthia?
Sack total sounds great to me. Love that one.
Okay, that's it. That's the only one.
Well, they all do. I mean, they're all good, but that's like there's a lot there. There's like more there than you have dog, which is our.
I told you, this is how Cynthia, we have to spend a Sunday fun day together. I mean, this is how I do this. But by the way, this is how I bet every game in the NFL.
This is how I play
and I watch. And this is why I've got 3 TVs going, 4 computers going every Sunday. Because, you know, I'm trying to stay on top of everything. And I mean, you know, it's fun when you get really excited about JD McKissick making his 5th reception and you wonder why. You know what I mean? Like, yay, I won that bet. Anyway.
You're like, yay, love it.
Yeah. It's so fun. I just, you know, hey, do you hear the news? Our New York governor Cuomo, it's 2 thumbs up to mobile betting starting next year.
Nice. I know. Good for him.
I reached out to his people. My people reached out to his people, but his people haven't gotten back to my people. My people is just me, by the way. So
Got it.
It's so funny. Cynthia, on his social media, like on his Twitter account, it says that he's a motorcycle enthusiast. And so you might not know this about, so I used to race motorcycles as a kid and I grew up.
What?
Yeah. Come on, I'm a tomboy. So I used to race BMX bikes and motorcycles, and I had everything. I had motorcycles, I had ATVs, I had go-karts, I had everything. I mean, like ridiculous. I was an only child. It was ridiculous. I had everything. It was ridiculous. Motorcycle-wise, like, you know, ATV, all that. So I was an only child. My parents had to keep me busy somehow. And so anyway, long story short, so I reached out to him on social media asking him to come on and be a guest on my show. And I was just like, oh, let me try the motorcycle angle. So I retweeted my invite to him saying, oh, and we could talk about motorcycles, motorcycle owner here as well. Thinking, okay, maybe that'll hook him to come on the show. I still haven't
That's
heard anything.
Hilarious.
I know. I still
hilarious.
Haven't heard anything. Anyway, I'm excited about it. It's going to save us all a lot of money for those who live in New York who have to come to Jersey just to get their bets in. So God bless Cuomo in this decision. Really happy about it. All right, quick break. We come back. Cynthia Freeland is going to break down the Sunday games next right here on 98.7 ESPN. Welcome back to Weekend Wager on this Friday night, this Friday Eve before Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. This is Weekend Wager, again, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. All right, Cynthia, back with us. We did a deep dive into Saturday. Let's do a deep dive into Sunday. And, of course, let's start with that Ravens-Titans game. I love this Ravens team. I'm such a strong believer that when teams are peaking at the right time, and let's be honest, this Ravens team is peaking at the right time heading into this matchup in Tennessee against the Titans, and they're favored by 3. I love the Ravens here. What side are you on?
Oh, well, okay, look, I think this one is a close game, but I ultimately think that the Ravens take this one. I only have a 2-point win, which is surprising to me, but I think this is one of those games that is more closely fought than maybe it seems for what we've seen from, like, the Titans seem to be on the downswing and the Ravens seem to be on the upswing. I think a 2-point win is what I can project there.
All right, so I love the Ravens here. Again, as I said earlier, this is a Baltimore Ravens team that – they've won 5 straight. They're averaging over 30 points a game. They're scoring on 60% of their offensive possessions. Lamar Jackson is finally, you know, we're seeing the Lamar Jackson where he's rushing for 50 yards a game. Mark Andrews is finally feeling healthy. Keep in mind, you know, he's a gentleman who deals with diabetes and had to deal with COVID. That defense is starting to get healthy. I love the Ravens, man. I love the Ravens. So how am I going to play this? I've got Ravens -3. I'm playing a lot of team totals here, as you can see. I like the Ravens team total over 29.5. I think a lot of points are going to be scored in this game. So do you like the over under here is at 54.5?
I think that it's going to be higher scoring than that. Why? Well, in one part, the Titans, if you look at their defense in terms of pressure, they've allowed like 0% pressure rate. Okay, that's a little exaggerated, but like a very low 14% pressure rate over their past 5 games. Woof, that's bad. So I think it's gonna be a high scoring game.
Woof. Prop bets. I'm because of that. See, I think a lot of people are gonna stay away from this, Cynthia, and that is Lamar Jackson over 203.5 passing yards. But I think because of the lack of pressure rate and, I think Lamar's going to have all the time back there to pass the ball. So I like the over in 203 and a half passing yards. Also, I like the over in touchdown passes at 1.5. I think that's a no-brainer. And also, I think he rushes one in. So those are all the prop bets for Lamar Jackson. Do you like those?
I like it. Yeah, I do. I think Lamar Jackson can have an awesome game, like, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I think he's one of my, by the way, he's one of my favorite players, like, in fantasy. I participate in a lot of those snake drafts on FanDuel and DraftKings. And, and you know, if he's not taken, he's like, for sure, and granted, I know you got to have a lot of value in the running back position, but still, I just think the amount of points that he's going to be able to put up against Tennessee is going to be remarkable. Running the football, J.K. Dobbins, the cream has risen to the top when it comes to that backfield with the Baltimore Ravens, over 60.5 rushing yards. And also, I've got Mark Andrews anytime TD at +125. Dude is just targeted all the time in the red zone.
I like both of those things a lot. If you look to see over the past, since week 15, if you look to see, I think it's 15, it's either 13 or 15. Over the past few weeks, what the Ravens have been able to do rushing outside the tackles, 7.3 yards per rush, that's for Next Gen Stats. That's ridiculous, and they'll get J.K. Dobbins going in that area for sure. So I like that one especially.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
Again, Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. We are breaking down the Sunday games. The Bears going up against the Saints. This is the largest spread at -10. Saints at home, favored by 10. The over-under is at 47. I understand why the spread is what it is. I think the Bears get destroyed here, Cynthia. How are you playing this game?
Well, I just saw that Trey Hendrickson is not playing, so that's interesting to me. I think 11 is about right. Now, that's my 11 is that with no Roquan Smith, because Roquan Smith is a big deal in order to stop Alvin Kamara. So that's going to be a problem. But if you look to see, Drew Brees has been actually doing really well throwing the ball downfield, weeks 15 through 17, averaging over 8 yards per attempt, which, you know, that's better since his significantly better since his injury. So if you look to see that combined with Michael Thomas coming back, like that, all those things together are a really big deal to me.
This is another game where I have a lot of unders here because I think the Saints defense, they're just so good. I mean, they're just so good. And I think as great as Mitchell Trubisky and David Montgomery has been doing as of late, you got to look at their opponents with all due respect. Mm-hmm. So I've got the under in passing yards for Mitchell at 243.5. Under passing yards, and also David Montgomery. This is a high number, Cynthia, against the Saints defense. 93.5 total yards for David Montgomery. I've got the under on that. I just think that's a lot to ask of this young man against a really exceptional defense.
Yeah, I mean, I can't root against DeMario Davis. I mean, good Lord, not going to happen. So, like, ruin DeMario Davis is too good to let that happen.
Right? Okay, and also, I'm sorry, last but not least, before we move on to the Browns and the Steelers, Saints team total over 28.5. This isn't your grandfather's Bears defense anymore, especially as of late. So I do believe that the Saints are going to put up a lot of points, over 28.5. Thoughts on that?
I like that. I think that, you know, I have 30 projected, so that's more than 28.5. That's interesting, too, from the standpoint of, When it comes to who's missing and like potential pieces, like I said, without Roquan Smith, that number could be even higher than 30 points. So just keep an eye on who's actually active or not. But I think that's a smart one as well.
All right. Last but not least, the Browns going up against the Steelers. The Steelers favored by 6. I'm surprised this line is still at 6. All the Browns are going through COVID. They're not going to have Stefanski on the sideline. Olivier Vernon is out. They're going to be missing pieces on their offensive line. Like, it's just like, it's one thing after another. And oh, by the way, Mason Rudolph put up 300 passing yards against them last week on a game that they were not playing all their best players. How is this line still at 6? This is a big red flag for me. Please explain it to me.
I can't explain why it's still there. Joel Bitonio alone is a big deal to me at guard position. I mean, the Browns, they're predicated on rushing the ball. And to not have an all-pro, a Pro Bowl guard there is just crazy, especially when you consider the Steelers bring the heat, their pressure more than any other team in the National Football League. And I know that they've had problems in terms of like connecting with receivers, but if you look at Deontay Johnson's production on 10 plus air yard passes over the past three games, it's really picked up, two touchdowns, whereas before he only had like 33 yards, something like that. So he's really come on strong as of late, and that could be a good predictor of the passing game kind of getting back in order, especially because that's an area where the Browns have been, like you said, they were 300 yards. Like Mason Rudolph put up a bunch of yards and kept them in it. And those were all deep passes too. It was the deep pass that kept Mason Rudolph really, you know, in that game late.
The one prop bet that stands out to me in this game is Baker Mayfield under 238.5 passing yards. I mean, Baker, you know, it's kind of like, it's very similar to Tom Brady, right? Like Jekyll and Hyde in regard to these quarterbacks in a clean pocket compared to when they are under pressure. And the Steelers, they've got the number one pressure rate. And I want to say top three blitz rate. So I think Baker Mayfield is really going to be under duress a good majority of the night.
See, I think Baker's going to have more passing yards than that for like, all of those same reasons. Not because I think that he's going to be happily under duress, but I think he's going to have to pass because they're going to be not winning, right? They're going to be trailing. And so that to me means I think more like 260 yards for him. Why? Because I don't think they're going to have the option of not passing.
Interesting. Okay. Before we let you go, just out of curiosity, what's your favorite bet for this weekend? What's your favorite bet heading into this weekend?
That's a good one. I think that I feel the most confident about, I feel the most confident about the Saints winning big. And now that's a big number, but I still feel very confident about that. I think the Saints have something to prove. I think that the Bears, they're, you know, lucky to be in this position. And I feel very strongly about the fact that the Saints, especially with Michael Thomas coming back, they got to get their vibe back. And Emmanuel Sanders has come on strong as of late. So all of those things together create like the storm of positive things that could make it so that the Saints are like, oh yeah, no, we're the Saints look really scary. And then we're going to talk all next week about the fact that are the Saints better than the Packers because they lost their left tackle? That's what I think is going to happen.
So you're predicting over 47 points. The over under in that game is 47. You're expecting the over there?
I don't know. I just don't know if the Bears can keep up their end of the bar. They got to score a little bit. I don't think the Saints are going to win by 48. So,
right.
You know, I think that could be, that's not a game. I think I'd stay away from that total because I do think they'll try to air it out. But on the other hand, if they get a nice strong lead, they could probably just run the air out of the ball.
Fantastic. Great stuff as always, Cynthia. You rock. You can see her all over the NFL Network, and you can hear her here on my shows all the time. I feel like I have you on all the time.
Yes.
I owe you more than a case of wine, my friend. I owe you the world.
Hey, we like wine. Whatever. Friendship's all I need, girl. Friendship and wine, that's what we got.
All right, Cynthia, always a pleasure having you on with us. I so adore you, my friend. Enjoy week three. Really, the first week, wild card weekend, week one of the postseason. Still a lot more coming your way. You're listening to Weekend Wager, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your bet. Believe in your game. BetMGM Sports right here on 98.7 ESPN. Welcome back to Weekend Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. The one and only, the very famous, the one that ESPN has to be so blessed that he is a part of our platform. That is Bill Barnwell, who does a phenomenal job covering all things NFL. We're going to do a deep dive into this playoff as it starts on Saturday. So excited about it. We're going to do a deep dive into the AFC, NFC, and find out at the end of this discussion who Bill Barnwell has winning this Super Bowl. So, Bill, welcome in. First and foremost, let's start in the AFC with that Bills-Colts game. Who do you have winning tomorrow?
I think the Bills, and I think that you're looking at a defense that on the Buffalo side is getting better. I mean, they were really struggling early in the season. They've been one of the best defenses in football since the bye in week 11. And then on the flip side of this, Colts defense we know is good. We know they can get pressure. We know that they can hold up. You know, and sort of force teams to not make plays downfield typically. But this year they're making opportunities for big plays downfield. Other teams are getting their chances to hit big plays. And they really struggle when the quarterback gets to hold the ball for more than 2.5 seconds. And with Josh Allen, nobody completes more passes and has more passing yards holding onto the ball for more than 2.5 seconds than the Bills quarterback. So to me, I think it's just a tough matchup. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I just don't like Philip Rivers' chances in a shootout.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this game. And I'm really excited for Josh Allen. I was watching, there's reports today, there's a few executives. I'm an equal opportunity sports talk watcher, and I was watching Colin Cowherd. I know he's on our competing station. But apparently, Colin was reporting that there's a few executives out there that they said if they had an opportunity to build a team either around Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, a few of them would go with Josh Allen. Just to kind of give you, agree or disagree with it, kind of give you an idea of like the kind of season that he's had, that this is even a conversation, Bill, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, for sure.
So, just very interesting. All right. And I'm just going to stick in the AFC. So let's go to game number two. And that is Tennessee at home taking on the Baltimore Ravens. I'm a true believer in teams that are peaking at the right time as you head and you get closer to the postseason. And the Ravens have done that offensively, winning five straight, averaging over 30 points a game. Lamar Jackson looks like he is back to his old self. So I like Baltimore here. I'm picking Baltimore to win this matchup. What say you?
Oh, it's close. The thing is, I've seen this matchup twice now. Last year, the Ravens lost in the postseason, got outplayed start to finish by Tennessee, were sloppy, didn't look like they were prepared. This year, better, but still Tennessee won in overtime, still were the better team in that game. I know the Ravens are 3-point favorites here, so clearly, and that's in Tennessee. So I know home field advantage doesn't mean as much as it typically does, but clearly the market thinks that the Ravens are the better team. I agree. This is the matchup I'm most concerned about, where I feel like I'm least confident in my pick. I think the Ravens win, but I want to see them throw the ball. Tennessee's defense just is horrible against play action, the worst play action defense in football. So I know that the game plan normally for Lamar Jackson is run, 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 but I think this is a game where that could be an exception. I could see them throwing the ball more frequently on early downs, early in the game, and having a lot of success doing so.
You know, the over-under on Lamar Jackson's passing yards is like 203.5. It's actually one of my favorite prop bets out there this week because you're right. You can pass all over Tennessee. You mentioned the previous matchup between these two teams. If you look at the stats, and I know you're excellent at what you do. I know you're aware of this. I'm just sharing this with our listeners. The Ravens dominated every area of the game except turnovers. They dominate like field position, time of possession, yards, first downs, conversions. I mean, like, they dominated everything except turnovers. I mean, so I just think if they could protect the ball, I guess I am a lot more confident in this matchup than you are. But we'll see what happens. All right. Now you've got a Pittsburgh Steelers. You got a Pittsburgh Steelers team. They've got the third seed. They are hosting the Cleveland Browns that are just going through absolute hell this week, right? COVID, no head coach on the sideline. They lose a stud on the offensive line. They lose Olivier Vernon. Myles Garrett could get doubled. Like, how is this line 6, by the way? I don't quite understand that, but like, I think Pittsburgh rolls here. Are you giving the Browns even a chance to upset the Steelers this week?
I mean, anything's possible, right? You never want to rule anything out, but on the other side of the bracket, we're going to talk about Washington-Tampa. That's a matchup where it's really easy to imagine a scenario where it's a lot closer than people think. Here, it's really tough. You have to basically count the Steelers' offense out altogether. And, I mean, this is a team that last week, their backups almost beat the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Now, this is a rematch in Pittsburgh. And, again, home field advantage doesn't mean that much in the 2020 season. But just, you're traveling. You are without your head coach, without several of your star players. And you're playing a Steelers team that just had a week to rest. A lot of their key guys, Ben Roethlisberger, T.J. Watt, those guys had no bye all year, and now they're getting a rest. So to me, I think anything is possible. Steelers could always turn the ball over 3 or 4 times, lose a couple fumbles. That is within the range of possibilities. But to me, I think the Steelers roll here. I think it's a double-digit 15-20-point victory.
Okay, so with that being said, we head into next week, and we've got the Ravens at Kansas City. I've got the Ravens pulling the upset, Bill. I got the Ravens pulling the upset. Who do you have in that matchup?
I have the Chiefs, but I think you can make a very strong case that if you were going to build a team that could beat the Chiefs, you'd build the Ravens, right? You build a team that can run the football, build a team that can get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. They have a deep set of cornerbacks that can hold up in coverage. You'd build that, and it would make total sense, but I've seen this matchup 3 times now. And they just haven't figured out the formula for how to stop Patrick Mahomes. He has a passer rating of 116.2 against them in three games. So I could see a high-scoring game. And I could certainly see a scenario where the Ravens do kind of figure things out on defense. Maybe they blitz less. Maybe they try to change up what they do in coverage, slow down Patrick Mahomes that way. We saw the Falcons do a good job with a sort of a unique scheme against the Ravens, against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. But I just have to see it before I believe it. I'm just too conservative when it comes to that. I could absolutely see a Ravens upset, but I pick the Chiefs to win there.
All right. Pittsburgh at the Bills. I've got the Bills winning this one.
I have the Steelers here. So now we are disagreeing on both sides of the AFC divisional round. I like it. So I think the Steelers, yeah, I mean, in that first game, we saw the Steelers defense really slow down that Bills offense in the first half. The problem was their offense couldn't do anything. They were 1 of 10 on third down. They were tired. They looked sloppy. I think they're going to be better coming off of that week off and getting that week to rest, having that second half against the Colts where they looked functional on offense again. So, you know, I think the Bills are maybe a better team on paper, but I think the Steelers just match up well against Josh Allen to slow down the offense. And I think the Pittsburgh offense can have some success throwing the football against a Bills defense that, even though they've improved, still not on the same level we saw a couple of years ago. So I think I would see a close game, but I think I would take a Steelers victory.
All right. So here's the big moment of truth, and that is Pittsburgh in Kansas City taking on Kansas City for the AFC Championship game. But before you do, I have the Bills beating the Ravens. I've got the Bills.
Wow, I like it.
I've got the Bills representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, by the way. So, Bill, what say you?
Fun.
Is it Pittsburgh for you, or is it Kansas City?
That's so close. I would say the Chiefs, just because I don't think the Steelers have anybody who can cover Travis Kelce. Without Devin Bush, who's out for the year, they've had some injuries at linebacker. There's just not anybody on that roster who I think can cover Travis Kelce. So I think he would have a monster game, and I think that would be the difference between these two teams. I think that would lead to a Chiefs victory. I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs winning, I have that as my AFC pick. I'm more intrigued by your pick. I like the idea of a Bills Super Bowl trip more than a Chiefs Super Bowl trip. So I always like the new team. I always like having, a new story. So the Bills will be really fun, I think.
You know, here's the thing. Everybody's making such a big deal about Lambeau Field, right? Like, and mm-hmm. From what I understand, they're going to have a few fans in the stands as well. Our New York Governor Cuomo has allowed the Bills to have a few fans in the stands. Now, what will 6,000, mm-hmm. was it 6 or 16, something like fans in Buffalo, what will they sound like? Does that give them somewhat of a home field advantage? But weather conditions are brutal there as well. And I get it. It's in the AFC. They're teams that more frequently play outdoors or not in great weather conditions. Of course, we're talking about, the Ravens and in Cleveland and in Pittsburgh. But, I don't know. Everybody's making such a big deal about Green Bay having home field advantage. Don't sleep on this Bills team. And especially, again, I put a lot of weight in teams that are peaking as we get closer to the postseason. And the Bills have just been on. Listen, I mean, Bill, they should be 10-0, dude. They should be 10-0 if it wasn't for the Hail Mary, right, that took place. But anyway, I know we only have you for a few more minutes, so let's really dive into the NFC. And let's start. Okay. Oh, man. Actually, we'll go in. I'm going to save that. Let's go with the first game that we're going to see on Saturday, and that is the Rams at Seattle. I like John Wolford. I like what I saw last week. Mm-hmm. He's more athletic than Goff. I think mm-hmm. Sean McVay can scheme and do a lot of fun things. He's not going to announce who the starting quarterback is until like a minute before game time. So Seattle now is having to prep and plan for either quarterback. I like the Rams here. I like the Rams getting the three. I like the Rams on the money line. I think Rams win. What say you?
Wow. I would say Seahawks. I'm afraid that Sean McVay is going to play Jared Goff in this game. The fact that they're not they're teasing it, the fact that they came out last week and said we expect him to play, the fact that the line is only three. I think if the line was higher, if we knew it was going to be Wolford, I think the line would be higher than 3.5. So I think the line seems to indicate that, at least to me, that we're expecting Jared Goff in this game. And I think Jared Goff, when he was healthy, was not playing very well against the Seahawks. And I think the fact that he's going to come in now with a thumb injury makes me concerned that we could see a situation where he starts 3 for 12, the Seahawks get up 14-0, and then John Wolford does come in, and John Wolford plays better than Jared Goff, but because he's behind, he can only do so much, and he's not a guy who you want to put him in a 14-point deficit. You want him to be ahead. You want him to be able to be a threat with his legs running the football. So If I knew that they were going to start Wolford, I would agree with you.
I like Wolford. I like him. I like him a lot. He's more athletic, and I think there's a lot more that McVay can scheme up against Seattle. So 100%. I'm hoping. My fingers are crossed. My fingers are crossed that Wolford starts. We'll see. Okay, so I have the Rams, though. You have Seattle. Now let's move to that Tampa Bay-Washington game. Oh, Bill. Oh, I love that Chase Young came out and said, I want me some Tampa Tom. This Washington defense is going to get after Tom Brady. 44% completion percentage, less than 5 yards per completion. Tom is going to have a hell of a night. I love Washington plus eight. I like Tom Brady under 295 passing yards. I think this game is, I mean, listen, I might even throw some money on the money line that you could get at plus 440. I think people are underestimating, you know, oh, Alex Smith, you know, he's a shell of himself, his calf. Oh, you know, I'm not worried about the quarterback. This is all about the defense. And not only is the defense, I think, going to put up at least a touchdown, but they are going to give Washington excellent starting field position throughout the game. That's how I envision this game script. What do you envision here? What do you think?
I'm picking Tampa, but I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I think it's going to be way under 45 or whatever the total is now. I think it's going to be way under the total. I think it's going to be like a 17-7 game. My only concern, I agree with everything you said about the defensive line, about Tom Brady struggling against pressure. The numbers all back that up. My concern is just, I'm worried Washington's going to turn the football over. Because even with Alex Smith this year, he's a guy who we know historically does not turn the ball over. He has been, he's had a ton of turnovers this year, a ton of interceptions, a bunch of fumbles. I mean, even in the fourth quarter of that game against the Eagles, you know, it's been overshadowed because the Eagles were tanking, but they were trying to lose that game. You know, they were fumbling, they were muffing punts, they were just a mess when it came to protecting the football. So I think absolutely, I don't like the Brady over. I don't like a lot of Tampa Bay sides here. I'm just worried that Tampa Bay is going to get some short fields as well. So you could see a situation where we have, you know, a bunch of field goals, a bunch of short fields, and a bunch of teams, you know, not moving the ball, but getting some points because of those takeaways. So to me, I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I just have Tampa protecting the football a little bit better and then winning the game because of that.
I'm with you. I do have the Bucs winning, but I will not be shocked if Washington wins. I will not be shocked.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm shocked if the Browns win. I wouldn't be shocked if the Washington football team won.
I'm with you. Again, Bill Barnwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Chicago at New Orleans. I think this is a complete blowout. I think this is going to be the most boring game out of all of them.
I've already scheduled walking my dog during the
second. I love it. Okay. Saints defense is just too good. Saints defense is just too good. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we see Jameis Winston come in and quarterback the fourth quarter. That's how bad of a blowout I think this is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree.
Okay, so we won't even spend a lot more time on this. All right, so with that being said, based on what you have, so you've got Tampa now going to Green Bay, right? Yeah, you've got mm-hmm. Tampa now. You have Tampa going to Green Bay to take on the Green Bay Packers.
This is where I get my upset. I say Bucks beat the Packers, a thing we
saw
earlier this year.
You one, just said you won't be shocked if Washington beats the Bucks. Now you got them beating the Packers?
Anita, you know, styles make matchups. Styles make fights. Classic quote. And the Bucks are a great matchup for the Packers. They're a terrible matchup for Washington. The Packers don't have the same pass rush Washington does. I know that Zadarius Smith is good, but they don't have the same pass rush. They do not have a quarterback who is great moving the way that Aaron Rodgers was maybe earlier in his career. He's been awesome this year, but he still has been a guy who struggles with pressure. And the Bucs got a ton of pressure on Aaron Rodgers the first night. But the only game all year Aaron Rodgers had a passer rating under 90 was a 35.4 rating against these Buccaneers. And they also lost David Bakhtiari. And I know it didn't matter against the Bears. I think it's going to matter a lot more against the Buccaneers. And we know the Packers, if you get down, they're a team you can run on. They have a very mediocre run defense. It's been their problem, their real issue over the past few years. And Anita, I have a stat for you. I'm going to finish with this stat here for this game.
Mm-hmm.
When one team beats another team by 17 or more points, and those two teams make it to the playoffs and play again, that team that won by 17 or more points in the regular season is 15-1 in the last 16 games. I just think it's a tough matchup for the Green Bay Packers. So I got to pick an upset at some point, right? So I'm going to go Bucks. Betting against Aaron Rodgers, scary, but I have to go in that direction this way.
Okay, all right, that's fair. And then we have Seattle going up against the Saints. I'm assuming you're rolling with the Saints as well, no?
I am, yes. Saints, I just think, are a two different matchup. Seahawks defense has improved, but they've played such bad quarterbacks. This is the first time they're going to be playing a really impressive quarterback, and I think it's going to show.
Okay. And then, so that would leave the Saints and the Green Bay Packers, and those are the two that I have in the NFC Championship.
Yep.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm split here. I mean, sometimes I look at this matchup and I'm like, oh, Green Bay for sure. And then other times I look at this matchup, I'm like, oh, no, the Saints. I'm at a 50-50 split here. What side are you on?
If it's same Packers, I feel the same way. I don't know. I feel like it's too close to call. Just depends on who is maybe a little better protecting the football. I know the Saints lost earlier this year, but I think they're playing better now than they were then. For me, I have Saints Bucks, and to me, it's an easy Saints victory. They've dominated the Bucks both times this year. Again, just a tough matchup for Tampa. So to me, I think the Saints go in the Super Bowl.
All right. So you've got the Saints and the Kansas City Chiefs in a Super Bowl matchup.
I do.
And who is your Super Bowl winner?
Ooh, I go Saints very, very narrowly, Anita. I just think they are the sort of team that not going to stop Patrick Mahomes and company, but they can slow them down. I mean, they almost beat them in Week 15 in a game where Drew Brees completed 44% of his passes. They held the Chiefs, no big plays, nothing bigger than 24 yards in terms of holding Kansas City to big plays. So I think they have a solid defensive plan, and I think their offense is going to be better than it was that first time around. So anything's possible. You know, we could see Taysom Hill at quarterback in that game. Who knows? But I do think the Saints pull this one out. So I have the Saints, a team I was not high on heading into the regular season, winning the Super Bowl.
Interesting. So again, Super Bowl matchup is the Saints going up against Kansas City, and Bill has the Saints winning. You could get them right now at +750. By the way, that's the line right now is +750. I've got the Bills. And again, it's a toss-up for me. Sometimes I say Green Bay Packers, sometimes I say Saints, but it doesn't matter. You know why, Bill? Because the Bills are winning the Super Bowl this year. And you could get them at 7-1. You could get them at 7-1. So I say Bills. Bill Barnwell says Saints. And that's some good money right there. Those are some good odds because we're not going chalk. Bill, always a pleasure having you on. Please enjoy Wild Card Weekend. You are the absolute best. You're listening to Weekend Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks with you, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.